Right. Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. I'm Bob. And my son, I brought my two sons. Landon, will you stand up, Landon? That's Landon. He's 9. He's going to be a fourth grader. And same as last year, I shared a little bit about the boys. Landon still loves video games. He is an amazing young little boy. Logan, would you stand up? Thank you. This is Logan. Logan is 14. And same as last year, loves guitars and music and bands and outdoors, fishing, camping, anything to do with that. And so, yeah. And then my mom and my dad. My mommy and my daddy, as you know, Jenny called them. Roger and Jackie. Amen. All right. Well. Yeah, that'd be great, but I don't have to. Up to you. But it'd be great. So let me teach you something about Thailand. I've lived in Thailand for 22 years, obviously too long, I guess, because they ask you a question and you say no, but you mean yes.
That's right.
And that's one of those times when I realize I've been in Thailand too long. I don't need it, but that would be great. That's how I try to do that. Thank you, because I do need it. We live in Thailand and been there for 22 years, and I wanted to share a little bit of a testimony this morning before we start with the message. We had an outreach last November, and we did, you know, a concert and the gospel presentation, and people got saved, and those are always really good. You always get a lot of response. A lot of people raise their hand, but really the hard work begins the week after, when you have to do the follow-up ministry and do discipleship and meet with the people and find out where they live and find out all their problems and deal with all their issues. And so we've been doing that since November. It's in the Ratchaburi province. And so I've been going there pretty regularly. And the thing that always amazes me is that whenever we make our own plans, God like goes along with it, and they're good plans, right? But then he always does something unexpected. And he does things that we think, well, I never thought that that would have happened at that family. I don't know, you know, Dave and Chris, if you guys ever had like a family come in church and you think, you know, we judge people, right? We think, even as pastors, I'm sorry, just going to be honest. But we think, oh, that's great. That's a nice person. We'll probably never see them again. And then they end up being like the most faithful people in church. Or the people you have the highest expectations for, you know, don't. Anyways, on to the praise report is, so we were going to this family, and they have a restaurant, so they're always working when we're there, and you're always like, hey, like, if you get a minute, like, could we, like, pray for you, or do you have any questions? And so those are kind of the situations where I always kind of feel like, all right, we're going to keep doing this, and we're going to keep doing our best that we can do, and we'll see what God does. Well, we were going to this place, and if you can show the first picture of me and this little boy. This little boy's name is M. His mom was Am and he was M. So I don't know why their names are so similar, but they are. But his name is M and he is 13, I believe. The guy on the right, he's Bob. He's quite tall. So we've been going to this place off and on for probably 6 months. And last month when I was there, his mom was telling me the story. If you show the next picture, in Thailand, they believe in they're Buddhist, and they have a system of merit, and also they worship spirits and temples and monks and whoever has the most power, they'll go to get prayer. And so this is called an amulet. And what they do, it's an idol, and it's been blessed by the monk, and they wear it around their neck for protection. And so he asked his mom, it just happened to be the day before we came there, the night before he asked his mom, he said, Mom, if we're Christian, do we need to wear this anymore? And she said, I guess we don't. So he took it off, and you can show the next picture. It's just M holding the amulet, but he used to wear that every day, and now we go back, we visit, and I'm like, where's the idol? He's like, oh, I don't know, I lost it or whatever. It's in the bedroom or whatever. But anyways, he no longer is worried, no longer lives in fear that if he doesn't pray to the right idol or to the right temple or to the right spirit, that he's going to get cursing and bad things into his life. And so sometimes it's amazing, you know, because we talk to his mom and his dad and other the adults, the uncle that's there. But the thing that I've noticed about kids is that they're always listening. Always listening, even when you don't want them to be listening, right, Landon? No, just kidding. Landon's always listening. But so that's a praise report. You can keep praying for that area. We're planting a church out there and believing that God's just going to bring the right people, the right pastor, the right team, and everything that needs to be put in place there. So that province is called Ratchaburi. Everyone say that after me.
Ratchaburi.
It's a good word, right? Ratchaburi. It's about 2 hours, 3 hours west of Bangkok towards the left if you're looking at a map. So that's the report from Thailand. Now, if you're ready, if it's okay, we'll get into the message. Yeah? Do you want me to just show my face like in the videos? Is that better? We should have brought a TV, like an empty TV, and I just could have sat in the middle of it. You guys wait, next video, I'm just gonna like walk off and just have the audio on. You want it in real life. Anyways, we should probably pray. Maybe. All right, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come together and to worship, to be family, to laugh, Father. To pray for one another and to learn from your word. And we just ask that your Holy Spirit would anoint me and everybody here, Father, that you would anoint me to speak and that you would anoint them to hear. And that the words that you speak to their hearts would be words that are specific to their life and to their situation. And that the Holy Spirit would teach them what that means to them and how they're supposed to apply it to their life. And that we'll be able to continue to grow into becoming who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, one thing that I like to do, and the story about M is a really good precursor to it, is, you know, sometimes in our religion and in our Christianity, I'm going to call it a religion because it's a religion, right? Sometimes the religion part of it can become a stumbling block for us. That ever happened to anybody. I like to say that I'm a word of faith baby. You know, we had the baby boomers, and in the 80s, we had all these word of faith churches opening, and I grew up in that environment. And a lot of good things came out of that environment, right? A lot of good teaching, but I find myself sometimes thinking, you know, I have to catch myself, and I have to ask myself, well, where did that come from? Where did that thing that we always say, that maybe it's a saying we always say, maybe it's a belief that we always have or an action that we always do, and we have to ask ourselves, why do we do what we're doing? Jesus said in either Matthew or Mark chapter 7, Matthew or Mark, both start with an M. I get them confused. I think it's Mark. He says that the word of God has become of no effect in us because of the traditions of men. And when our spiritual journey becomes religion and tradition, then it loses its power. Amen. And we're all trying to grow into becoming like Christ, right? Amen. Well, Chris is the only one that answered. Dave's thinking about it. No, I'm just kidding.
You're not wrong.
But what I always find myself struggling with too in Thailand is you know there's missionary people, we call them, I guess we call them people, but missionaries normally are a unique group of people, and I always find that you either get two different kinds of missionaries, either the ones that are just really dogmatic about everything, it has to be done the way that they learned in Bible school, and if it's not done that way, then it's sacrilegious and it's not holy, and those people are, you know, not really Christians. Or there's the other side where they're like, whatever, let's just culturalize the gospel, and if they still want to go to the temple and pray to the monks, it's okay, and, you know, there's freedom, right? And, So
you lost Siri there.
Dave's phone just said, "I'm not sure I understand." Thank you, Dave. Can I take you with me next week too? Man. Well, Siri, let me further explain. What I'm trying to say is that there's a lot of freedom and that there's a lot of room. Religion is very constricted. Religion is, you have to do this, you know. If you're a good Christian, you have to pray at 5:30 in the morning, because 9 o'clock at night, you've already done all your other things throughout the day, and that's just not as holy as 5:30 in the morning, right? I'm being sarcastic. Siri, I'm being sarcastic. But religion becomes rigid, and relationship with God is not rigid. There's freedom in that. And so I say that because the issue of idols in Thailand amongst the missionaries, we get all these different opinions. Like, you can't be a Christian and still have an idol. And I said, have you been to America lately? We worship a lot of things in this country. Most of it is green and fits in our pocket. Or houses, or whatever it is, right? An idol can be many different things. And so what I find is that when there is freedom, then people are able to do things at the heart level, which is what we want, right? We want people to love God because they want to love God, not because they're fearful. Yeah. And we want people to come to church because they want to come to church, because it's fun, because they get something, they grow, they get encouraged, they see, they have community, not because that they're forced to. And so we didn't tell them anything. My belief is, when they're ready, when the Holy Spirit has worked in their heart and they're ready, they'll ask a question. And we have so many people, like I used to do it, where it was like, now you're saved, now what about that thing hanging on your neck? You need to get rid of that. And it's not the right time. Like they're just newborn, like, you know, it's like shoving a steak down a newborn baby's throat. Thank you. So there's got to be freedom. And so I want there to be freedom today. As I share, I'm not sure how this message is going to come out, and hopefully we won't confuse Siri anymore. Man, I only got one laugh. I'm so glad you two are here. I need next week. I'm in Knoxville. Can you come and front row?
Bring your phone.
Bring your phone. Don't turn it off. So I have a question. How many of you are perfect? One person. None of us are perfect. We all have our off days, right? We all have, we're all still growing. Amen. I learned that in my 30s, I was still growing, but the wrong way. Instead of growing this way, I was growing this way. And you have to make some changes. But as we're growing spiritually, none of us have arrived, right? And so I want to talk to you about two things that I find to be challenging as a Christian for my own life. We read these things in the Bible about how God has perfected us and is perfecting us, right? When we're born again, are you halfway born again?
No.
We're all the way born again, right? But is our flesh all the way born again? No, right? It's a process. It's this growth that we're doing. There's a trajectory, and I like that word trajectory, because most times I think my own Christian life should be this straight line that's always going up, that's never going down, never has a bad day, never skips Bible devotion or study in the morning, because I'm a good Christian. I don't get up at 5:35, I get up at 5:25. And it's just straight progression upwards, but that's not reality. How many of you live in the real world? All right? Kind of. Was that you? Oh, I didn't know who said kind of. Oh, okay, kind of. That's not the way it works. And I always used to get frustrated with myself on maybe a down day, and I realized that it's not about having a straight, perfect line. It's about having the right trajectory. And I like the word trajectory, because that tells me that that's the direction that I'm going, but but I might take a little side journey here and there because I didn't follow the directions properly, or maybe I did follow the direction that God wants me to take a little side journey. Maybe God wants me to experience different things. Maybe that's part of his growth pattern for my life. There's no promise that all of our problems go away when we become a Christian. All of the prayers that Paul prayed in the New Testament, none of them did he say, Lord, please take away all of their problems. He prayed that they would have strength to endure. So our life's not going to be perfect, okay? We know that already, right? What is your trajectory? That's what I want to ask you this morning. I want you to think about it. What is your trajectory? You can think about your spiritual life or your physical life. Either way, it's okay. What's your trajectory? Where are you going? Some of you say, well, ask my dad. Yeah, I'm asking your dad. No, I'm just kidding. Where are we going?
Hopefully up,
right? What are your goals? What do you want to do? Are you okay with where you're at spiritually? You can be. That's okay. Hey, there's freedom, right? And here's the thing that we have to realize is, have you ever thought that you wanted to do something and then didn't do it? Like the 5:30 a.m. praying every day, or I'm not going to lose my temper, or I'm not going to doubt and worry. I'm just going to only have faith always. And then you mess up. Why? Because we're human. But it's also because we really want it. Right? If you weren't disappointed, then you didn't really want it. The reason you're disappointed is because you really wanted it. My mom's listening now, Dave, finally. 10 minutes in. If you weren't disappointed, you know, Landon doesn't like to fish. Or that's what he says. But last weekend, he said he wanted to get up at 5:30 in the morning and go fishing. But right now, today, he doesn't like fishing. When we go fishing and he doesn't catch anything, do you think he's disappointed? No. He doesn't care if he catches a fish. He doesn't like catching fish. He doesn't want to catch a fish. He's like, no, when I say he doesn't want to do it, this is what I mean. He's like, okay, Dad, whatever. Dad, hey, where's your pole? I don't know, it's over there somewhere. He's not disappointed. He didn't have, because his dad made him. Mom? No, I'm just kidding. The reason we're disappointed is because we really wanted it, number one. Number two is we think that we probably somehow let down God and that we've disappointed God. And let's just for a moment in our brains and hopefully in our heart rest in the fact that we didn't disappoint him. Could we have done better?
Yeah.
But did we? No, we did the best that we could do. And I think God's okay with that. Unless our heart's evil and we really didn't care, right? But I don't think that's any of you. But we think God's so disappointed in us when he knows everything anyways. He knows the struggles we're going to have. He knew way before today and the last 40-some years of my life that I wasn't going to be a 5 a.m. prayer. He's not disappointed. He knows me. He knows that I'm going to probably around 3 or 4 in the afternoon get into a rhythm, and that's my prayer time, naturally. Because my brain's shut off already because I did all the work in the morning, and I've still got quiet time before dinner and all that stuff works, right? That's just my time, and he's okay with that. So, you know where you're going, right? You got an idea of where you want to go, right? I have a question. Have you ever heard this expression? This is the expression we're going to talk about that I've had to ask myself. Where did this come from? Maybe you guys can help me know where this came from. Have you ever heard this? Are you ready? I can feel the anticipation. Have you ever heard the saying in church that the road to hell is paved with
good intentions?
Good intentions. Do you know where that comes from? Oh, man, I don't know where it comes from, but I grew up learning about it, hearing it. What do you think when you hear that? First of all, let me tell you, it's not in the Bible, okay? It's not based on scripture, okay? I'm guessing that there were people that always tried to do good and then they didn't do it, right? And then religious people said, well, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's what it's saying is good intentions is not enough, right? You have to have actions. And I get it. I understand why we would think that. I think that about myself sometimes. I say I have these intentions, but then I don't do anything. And I do have to challenge myself, right? But I think this, if you have an intention or a desire to do something and you don't do it or you don't pursue it, then it probably really wasn't an intention. It was probably just a good idea. It was probably just a thought that you had, you know, like, I'm going to pick on Landon again. Oh, there is no sympathy for this kid. He picks on me. So we walked in the door today and said, oh, this is the guy that heckled you last year, right? I love you, Landon.
Really?
I really do. I can't remember what I was going to say now. Yeah, good intentions. Man, that was going to be a really good one too, Landon. When I hear that expression, I really did forget, man, God must love you. I was going to roast you in front of everybody. It'll come back, right?
No.
That just having good intentions was wrong. And so to me, maybe you're like me, maybe you're not, but I always thought, well then intentions are not good. Because if I just have an intention, then I'm not really growing and I'm not doing anything. And if I really love God, I would do those things, right? If I really wanted to grow, then I would get up at 5:30 in the morning. And that religious mentality, I'm a Word of Faith baby, that growing up as a kid was what was tattooed into my brain. And I realized that what I had done in my life is I had taken out... She wasn't talking to me. Just kidding. But she said, oh, stop. She was talking to the baby. I had eliminated intentions because I thought, well, they must not be good because the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so there must be this other thing. And that's the challenge that I find in my spiritual walk. And that is that God does want us here, but it's a journey. It's a process. It's something that we're doing. And what I've found recently, and we should actually probably read a verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. If you want to open your Bible, you can. If you don't, that's okay. There's freedom. Hebrews. If you don't have one, praise the Lord. Yeah, you know, everybody has a phone. Right there. Son. Hebrews 4:12. It says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing. Okay, I put pierce, my autocorrect. It is piercing even to dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I read that verse and I thought, I think intentions are good. Because if you look at this, right, it starts out with soul and spirit, right? And then thoughts and intents. And we know where thoughts are, right? Thoughts are in our soul. Thoughts are in our mind. And so the way my analytical brain works is that the intents would then go with the spirit part. And I believe that God wants us to have intents, and that those intents that we have in our life actually come from our spirit, actually come by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had the desire to be more spiritual? Yes. Well, then how is that bad? Right. It's not bad. We need to have more than that. The complete version is that we need to have more than that, but we shouldn't eliminate those entirely. So what are your intents? And what are your thoughts? These are two things in this verse that I find very interesting. Thoughts, to me, are good ideas. Oh, I know what it was. Landon wants to be vegan. He thinks it would be fun to be vegan. But listen, every day is his cheat day. We sit down for dinner with friends. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm vegan. But they're like, oh, do you want us to make you something else? He's like, don't worry, it's my cheat day. In fact, he is vegan, but every day is a cheat day. Not anymore? Now he's vegetarian with cheat days. Our thoughts are like good ideas. Listen, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to read your Bible is only a thought. It didn't come from your spirit. No, I'm just kidding. For me, it's a thought because that's not how I'm wired. Like, I just can't do it. But I have the intention in my heart that I wanna have a time during my day that I read the Bible and actually get something from it. Because when I read it at 5:30 in the morning, I don't really get anything from it. So our thoughts are good ideas. Like, I should sign up for this course at church. It'd be good if I learned that. Well, is that a thought or is it an intent? An intent is defined as this. I do have a definition as a good word of faith child. Word of faith, baby. It is a thing that we intend to do. It's an aim or it's a plan. It's your goal. It's your purpose. It's a thing that you're shooting for. It's the thing that you want to accomplish. And you can always tell when people sign up for a church event because it was a good idea or whether they had an intention to really get something. Because the one who just thought it was a good idea normally show up half the time. And that's okay. There's freedom. You don't have to come. What did I say last month I was here talking about giving? You don't have to give if you don't want to. That's fine. But you should. The people that really have that aim and that desire and that goal will show up. And sometimes, as pastors, we always guess the wrong people are going to show up. Not the wrong people, but we always get it wrong because you guys always surprise us, which is really fun to see you guys grow. What is your aim or your goal spiritually? It could even, I mean, I've started to use this in my just natural life. Do you know, I like to run, okay? I don't run all the time, but I like to run. I want to be physically fit. I want to have energy. I want to feel good. Running makes you get these endorphins, and it's really good for your mental health and helps you to be happier and, you know, have the patience to put up with your vegan son. I'm just kidding. It took me probably 5 or 6 years to start running. I would run for like a month, and then I'd take 3 months off. Not on purpose. I just was busy. Life. Man, whenever we come home to the States, I hardly ever run because we're so busy. But my intention, my aim, my goal is to consistently have that practice and that habit in my life. So I like started over like 4 or 5 times a year for not the past 5 years, but it took me about 5 years until it actually became a habit. And I was talking with a friend of mine, and this is something I want us to think about today, because there's something in between the intent and the goal, your desire, and having that as a discipline in your life, right? And we think in Christianity that we have to be super disciplined and just eliminate that word, maybe. Discipline. What do you think of when you think of disciplined? It's not fun, right? Like, disciplined is like you never miss, like if you were a runner, you never miss a morning, ever, ever. That's, I was like, man, I was talking to Logan's swim coach. His name's Matt. He's from Australia. Australia. He calls me mate. And what else? Big fella. They're Australian. Everything's okay. And because they're good people. They're good people. They're. And I said, man, you know, I'm not very disciplined. He said, well, you're always exercising. You're always doing stuff. I said, yeah, but like for me, discipline is like you never miss. You know, if you're disciplined in your diet, what do you think? There's never a cheat day. There's no cheat days. You never screw up when you're disciplined. And that's where we want to be that way, right? I want to be that disciplined. But I realized, and having this conversation with my mate, Matt, that I wasn't very disciplined, but I was diligent. And there's a difference between being diligent and being disciplined. And for me, diligence or determination is every chance that I get, I'm going to do that thing that I say I want to do. So every afternoon that I would find myself at home at 5 o'clock and I had nothing to do for an hour, I would make a decision. Oh, I say I want to run, so I'm going to go run. And if you fill in those gaps with just being diligent of saying, well, this is my trajectory, this is where I'm going, so every opportunity that I get, I'm going to do it. It turns into a discipline in your life. But there's this really big gap in the middle where it's just you saying, I want to do that. I haven't done it all week, but I have the time now, so I'm going to be diligent to do it. I want to spend quiet time with the Lord or devotional time, whatever you want to call it, every day. That's my trajectory, right? That's what I want to do. But I don't want to just do it to do it. I want to actually like feel something. I want to actually like have a time with the Lord that is actually like not just boring. Anybody like me? Me too. And I put out that purpose or that intent and then determine to be diligent to do it. And then what happens is you end up doing it way more often than you realize. And it becomes a discipline and it becomes a habit. Whatever you want to do, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever your goals are, think of one thing that you could do to be diligent to do throughout the week. For me, to have a quiet time or a devotional time with the Lord, I love worship. So I'm gonna turn on YouTube. We have technology, right? Technology is not evil. It can help us. We have the most amazing worship bands like at our fingertips. So I set that determination and that goal and that aim in my mind that this week, because it makes a difference in your week, right? Have you ever noticed that? When you have regular times with the Lord, whether it be an hour studying in the morning, if that's your jam, go for it. It's not mine. Or whether it's spending 5 minutes sitting in your car, just going, man, like I sense God's presence. Like he's here with me. And I've been struggling today with anxiety and worry, but you know what? It's going to be okay because he's with me. For me, my intention is to notice throughout the day, moments in the day, that he's there with me. He's always with us, right? But we don't always notice it. And I want to notice it more. I'm like, God, if you're really here, could you show up a little bit more often? And he's like, I'm always there. You're just not noticing it. So I kind of have to work on myself a little bit. So the thing that diligence does for me, and maybe it will do this for you too, is it gives me permission to be imperfect. We're not going to be perfect anyways. Doug? No, I'm just kidding. He's pretty close. We already established in the beginning that none of us are perfect, right? Diligence gives us that freedom to be imperfect. It's like here's a word of faith word for you. There's a flow to it, right? I love that word. And what I found in my life was I took away the flow, and it was my decision, my discipline, my setting the schedule for how God was going to move in my life and how God was going to speak to me. And I probably end up missing it more times than not because 5:30 in the morning, God wasn't talking to me because he knew I wasn't awake. And then, of course, there's that odd day when you're like, wow, that was really good. You're like, well, maybe I should wake up at 5:30 in the morning. Actually, what I find really, really enjoyable with my journey with God is to just be open and be like, this is what I want, this is my goal, this is my aim, and every opportunity, every open door, I'm going to take advantage of it. And I'll find, like, You know, sometimes it's like 3:30 in the morning and you just wake up and you're thinking and you just keep thinking and you think about scriptures. Sometimes I got to get up and write it down. I'm like, wow, that's a really good sermon. I should remember that. Like, you're preaching to yourself. It's the Holy Spirit that's encouraging you on the thing that you need. It can happen anytime. It doesn't happen only on Sunday mornings. It doesn't happen only at church. It doesn't only come through the pastor. It comes through his word, right? The word of God is living and powerful. It's sharp enough to divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow, thoughts and intents of our heart. That's why the word's important to me, is because I know it's like when we read the word, it's like the Holy Spirit doing surgery. And it helps me. And it doesn't work instantly. It's not like I'm reading this verse and all of a sudden, oh, everything's clear. The word is like a seed and it gets put, right? Didn't somebody else say that once? Yeah. Like, what's his name? Jesus? It's that seed. And what happens is when you read the word, a lot of times we want it right then, right? We're instant gratification people. We want it right then. We want the answer. We're waiting for like heaven, you know, to split open and God to speak something directly to us. But that's not how it works. What we're doing is we're putting that in and we're putting the seed in. And then all of a sudden, one day we're thinking when we're stuck in traffic. You guys get stuck in traffic in Clear Lake? Well, in Bangkok, we have a lot of traffic. It can take us an hour to go 2 miles, right? So I use a lot of traffic illustrations, but they won't work for you guys because, well, unless you're here on the 4th. Yeah. But when you're least expecting it, you get clarity about a situation in your life, and you're like, oh, yeah. You know what? Those things happen more regularly when you read your Bible more regularly. It's an observation I have. I could be wrong, but last time I checked with farmers, they normally get a greater harvest when they plant more seeds.
Amen.
Right? There's a lot of Christians that have these fields with no seeds in there, but they're word of faithers, and they're standing on the word saying there's going to be a harvest, but they haven't had the diligence to put in the time. Amen. If you mess up one day, it's not the end of the world. If you mess up 1 week, it's not the end of the world. If you don't read your Bible for a month, I wouldn't suggest it, but it's not the end of the world. Our lives are very long. Wow. We won't get off on that rabbit trail. We have so much time. And for some reason, we have this, I do, maybe you don't, but I can only talk about me. I feel like we have to have it all done now. Like, God wants me perfected every area of my life now. And then he's going to use me more when actually he actually uses me more along the way as I learn and grow and overcome the obstacles and the various trials and temptations that we fall into that James says we're supposed to count all joy. Sorry, maybe wasn't very clear. Then be imperfect. We're not going to be perfect. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll end with this, verse 11 and 12. I really wanted to talk about diligence, and so I had to find a verse that had the word in it to support my theology. Just kidding. I it's one of those where you're reading the Bible and you're like, oh, there it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit, right? And so here, Paul says, show the same diligence. Okay, good. It's in that verse. And you picked the good version. Thank you. Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There's a lot in this verse that we can really unpack. But notice the first thing, and I think this is where that expression came from about talking about good intentions, how good intentions isn't enough, and good intentions alone isn't enough. But Paul says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Oh, yeah, in verse 12, that you do not become sluggish. You know what? I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I've noticed in the church sometimes there's a lot of sluggish people. I've been a sluggish person. I've been, you know, sluggish is like lazy, procrastinator. I'm a really good procrastinator. I've been going to clean my house for at least 3 years. But I clean it every day. It just keeps getting dirty. See, what's happened is we started with intentions and people got sluggish and lazy, and then it was all words. And people said, well, good intentions. You know, you got to have more than good intentions. And we do. But Paul's saying, we desire that you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. What we do, what we want to do, what I think is very easy for us to do as Christians, it says to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. We look at the people who have gone before us and who are successful. At least I do. And I imitate them at the level of success. I'm not imitating them and their habits that got them through the journey to arrive at success. And I think Christians, I think we're experts at doing this. We find someone who's done the right model, and we model their success, and we never got the hard lessons. We never had to answer the 2 o'clock phone calls because there was an emergency. Like I don't know what group you went into at Rhema, if it was pastors or whatever, but you learn about how to be a pastor, kind of, in Bible school. You don't really learn until you get the 2 a.m. phone call, until you get the, you know. Yeah. Maybe you don't know, but I know. You guys know. We try to model the habits of these super successful people. I think, okay, so my idol, if I can say it's an idol, I really love Brother Hagin. I like him. He's very genuine. I think all the things that he taught and did came from actually figuring it out and practicing it and doing it. And he's like the father of faith, right? But you know what we do? We imitate him at the level of success, and we just copy him. But really, we should be copying, like, does this make sense? It's like if we were to copy a farmer, but we're only copying them during harvest season. Right. And we're out there in the springtime with the harvester with a blank field. And we're like, well, that's what he did. And that's what he's doing, but we never imitate the hard time, the planting, the plowing, the late hours of being up when you're going. Is it calving season? Is it a season? Calving? Yeah. When your cows have babies, yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm saying the right word, calving. Yeah. You know, we just want to be the farmer that's at the stockyard selling his nice big 2,500-pound cow and getting paid money. And we're imitating that when we should have been imitating the hard work that took it to get them there. So we're supposed to imitate those, but what we do is we get discouraged because we imitate them at the level of success, and we feel like, well, I'm just not there yet. But actually, if you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s, you're not supposed to be there yet. I mean, you can be there, but you know what I'm saying, right? We're not. I'm not going to act like a 60-year-old. I'm not 60 yet. I'm 400. I tell myself this about my sons, Davide. You're a 14-year-old. You're going to act like a 14-year-old. Right? Blew my mind. Logan's a 14-year-old. He's going to act like a 14-year-old. Wow. That's why. But I won't tell. On Logan. Landon's a 9-year-old. He has an attention span for how many seconds? 9 seconds. Now it all makes sense. You're a vegetarian, but you lose your attention span and you go for that piece of steak. If you remember anything, number one, I want you to remember that your desires probably come from God and they're probably okay. Even if you don't fulfill them, keep those. But ask the question, and you don't have to answer it. How am I going to be diligent? Because here's the interesting thing. When you ask that question, the Holy Spirit gives you the answer. He's the teacher, right? Amen. He's the answer giver. He's the leader. He's the guider. And he'll show you throughout your day, throughout your week, how you'll be able to be diligent. And then one day people will come up to you and they'll be like, wow, you're so disciplined. And you're going to remember this sermon. You're going to be like, I'm just diligent. I'm not disciplined. I just every chance I get, I do it. Along through this, right? But imitate those who through faith and patience, really easy words to read, really hard words to walk out. Faith and patience don't happen overnight. Faith and patience are challenged. And you just have to endure. But that's okay, because God gives us the strength. Would you guys stand up with me? And we're going to sing, and then we're going to close. If you haven't been as disciplined as you think you should have been, that's okay. There's still time. If you have desires that you thought, well, maybe that was just me. Well, if it's a godly desire, if it's a good desire, it probably came from God. Just be patient. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. And take steps daily. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord. And I just ask that you would cement and seal the words that you spoke into our hearts, Father. As we sing this song, as we listen to the words of the song, and as we spend time in your presence, that you would just put those words into our heart, that we wouldn't forget them, and that the Holy Spirit would bring us to remembrance of the things that you want us to remember throughout this week. In Jesus' name.